The scripture lesson this morning is from John's Gospel, and I'll be sharing from chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. If you have your Bible or your phone app, Bible phone app, or a pew Bible, take that out and follow along with me, please. John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. This is a section or portion of scripture that's entitled The Children of Abraham, and Jesus was having a discussion with them in regard to their enslavement and their freedom. And so in response to what the children of Abraham said to him about whether or not that they were enslaved or who their father was, Jesus responded and he said these words, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. You know, around this time every year, in this great country, this great land and wonderful nation, we pause for a moment of celebration. We celebrate the freedom that we have in this country. We know that it's not a perfect union. It's a long way from it. And that we continue to strive for that more perfect union. And we've made that progress through the years. But nonetheless, we gather to celebrate. And over this weekend, of course, we had Fourth Fest here in our community, and I hope that some of you had an opportunity to get out and enjoy that and perhaps even see some fireworks. And so some of the things that we do at this time to celebrate our freedom as citizens of this great land is that we have fireworks, we have barbecues, we have family reunions, we go to baseball games and watch baseball. We have concerts and picnics. There are political speeches that are made. And of course, there always needs to be prayer. Prayer for our nation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, I will forgive them and heal their land. Betty reminded me this morning that that's a promise of God, but we have to do something. We have to humble ourselves. Keep that in mind. Humble yourself. If our land is truly to be forgiven, we must have humble leaders. We celebrate this freedom that we have in our country. But that's not what I want to focus on this morning. I'm proud to be a citizen of these United States. I'm disappointed many times in decisions that are made, in the way our leaders carry on. I assume you are as well. But I don't want to focus on that today. What I want to focus on is a freedom far greater than any country can provide. Far greater than we could ever experience in this life, and it's freedom as it was intended to be. Freedom as God created it. Freedom that is the truth and that represents the truth. And so, as we come here today, I want to talk about true freedom. And I would submit to you this morning that true freedom only comes from God. And it only is available to us through the person of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That is where we can find freedom as God intended. So let us consider not only the scripture that is before us today, that Jesus is the one who sets us free. He's the Son in that scripture. And if we are free, we're free because of him. Let's consider some other scriptures as well. Of course, there is that very familiar passage of scripture from John chapter 3, verse 16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This scripture is the one that God must have had in mind when he sent Jesus Christ to our world. It was the motivator. The love of God motivated him to send, the love of God for us motivated him to send on our behalf his only begotten Son to die for us, that whoever would believe in him would not perish. Therefore, we have freedom from spiritual death because of God's love and because God sent Jesus Christ to be an atonement, a payment for the sins that we would commit. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, we find these words. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. God loved us. God had a great passion for his creation. And he sent his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. That is why Jesus died on the cross. That is why we have communion, because of what God did through Jesus Christ on the cross as a payment for our sins. Jesus had to die so that we could have freedom. True freedom. Authentic, real freedom. That's why Jesus had to die, so that we could experience that. And so that we could have a way in order to connect with God in spite of our sinful ways. And that he would lead us to an eternal life only available to us by freedom in Christ. That is how much God loves you. That he was willing to give up his only begotten Son so that you could have everlasting life. He came so that he could forgive you of your sins and free you from that bondage. My chains are gone. I have been set free because of Jesus Christ. That sacrifice is what we call good news as Christians, as Christ followers. But it's not just good news. It's the best news. It is the greatest news. It is the most wonderful thing that we could ever possibly hear. By having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity to be freed from everlasting punishment and death and destruction. Have you ever thought about that? The punishment that we would be receiving in eternity if it were not for Jesus. And punishment that we would rightly deserve, because we know that that sin that we commit is what separates us from God. And so, Jesus frees us from that punishment. If we repent, if we seek forgiveness, we have the ability to be freed from that punishment because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And what's even more amazing is that we aren't only free, but that we can spend that eternity with those who have already gone before us. We can gather like Jesus is already there at that table waiting for us at the great banquet, that one day he will once again drink of that cup in his Father's kingdom. So we, because of Jesus, are free from eternal death. We also experience freedom from sin. And on our verse for today, in John chapter 8, verses 34 and 36, we hear about this. Anyone who practices sin is a slave to that sin. Anyone who practices sin is in bondage to that sin. Anyone who continues on in sin takes upon themselves a yoke, a weight, something that binds them down and does not allow them to find that forgiveness from sin. In our scripture for today, Jesus reminds the children of Abraham that if you are a slave, that you do not have a permanent residence within the home, that you're there just for a while to do a task. But if the Son remains, then the Son, Jesus being the Son here, is the one that will set you free from the bondage of that sin. And if He sets you free, you will be free indeed. I want to remind myself and all of you this morning that even when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior on this earth, there's still going to be turmoil. There's still going to be trouble. There's still going to be wars. There's still going to be difficulty in this world, pain and suffering. That's one of the first things people say to me when I try to tell them about Jesus is, well, why do all these bad things happen? They happen because of, as a result of sin. And we have to endure those things on this earth, as God said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. But after we accept Jesus, Satan is not going to stop. He's going to keep on at us. He's going to keep attacking us from wherever and whomever he can. And he won't stop. Now you say, Pastor, you know that Jesus defeated Satan. Of course, yes, he did. But Jesus himself has told us that he's going to keep on seeking to devour us and that he's there. And Jesus himself was tempted by the devil but defeated him. We have power over the devil, but we only have it through Jesus Christ. That is why it is important to always, always, always choose God and to turn away from temptation. James reminds us in chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil and flee from him. Resist him, turn your back on him, go the opposite direction, flee him, get away from him. And in the name of Jesus, Satan, get thee behind me. But that tape plays over in our head and Satan tries to get us to go back to our old ways of living before we got to know Jesus, before we were forgiven. And he tells us lies and tricks us into thinking that things are going to be okay if we go back and do those same things again. And that God certainly couldn't forgive that sin and God doesn't love anyone that much. It's a lie and don't believe it. Through Christ, we can be free. Through Christ and Christ alone, we find true freedom, godly freedom. Freedom from vanity and pride and greed and addiction, gluttony, selfishness, and other sins. Doesn't that sound like that's where Christ followers should be? Freedom from death, freedom from sin. And then freedom to choose our path. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth in his first letter, and there are a couple of scriptures that I would like to point out. In this first passage of scripture, Paul evidently is quoting something or someone that he has heard. And he quotes them and he says about that what they have told him, I have the right to do anything. I can do anything I want. All things are lawful for me. You say. But Paul goes on to write, but not everything is beneficial. You may have freedom in this country to do whatever you want. But not everything that you do is beneficial. Not everything that you do lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, quote that saying again, I have the right to do anything. All things are lawful for me. But then he says, but then the people that he quoted said, but I will not be dominated by anything. And perhaps in response to this, later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, Paul says, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, so that I might win more of them. You see, once we are enslaved to sin, once we are bound by sin, once we give in to sin and the temptations of the devil, even though we may trick ourselves or be tricked to believe that we have the freedom to do whatever we want to do, because that's what we do in this country, we can do whatever we want to do. But when we freely indulge in those things that are not of God, we are slaves to those things. We have accepted that and taken that on for ourselves. And Paul, in this latter scripture from 1 Corinthians 9:19, reminds us that even though he is free, he makes himself a servant. So what does he do with that freedom? He lowers himself. Out of the example of Christ, who left the splendors of heaven and came down to be a servant and washed his disciples' feet. This is the example of true leadership. This is true freedom as expressed in Christ. He says that he made himself a servant to all. Why did he do that? He gave up some great privileges of his righteousness and his holiness. Why? In order to reach more people for Jesus Christ. That is why he did it, so that he might win more of them, to win them to a life filled with abundance and true freedom. Another portion of scripture in Galatians chapter 5, and it's entitled Freedom in Christ, the portion of scripture, and it goes on for several verses, not only in verse 1, you should read it. But it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. This is Galatians chapter 5, 1. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You must understand here in the scripture and its context that what Paul is writing to the church at Galatia about is the law, and that they've been enslaved to the law, that they've been enslaved by the law, and that they can do all of these things in order to be in right relationship with God, and that whether or not they continue in following that law determines whether or not they have God's favor. He says to them that Christ came to free them from that, to give them freedom and set them free from that bondage of the law. That we should stand firm and don't let ourselves or allow ourselves to be burdened down by the tradition, by the ritual, but instead to give ourselves over to Christ and realize the freedom that we have as his people. A yoke, I think we all know, if you can imagine with me a couple of oxen with this wooden piece that goes across their necks or top of their back there and then circles around their heads, and in the middle is a piece that keeps them together and with the harnesses and as the farmer works. That yoke is something that they carry. It's a burden to them. It's something that they have upon them so that they cannot escape. Jesus says that he will take that yoke upon himself and that we will be freed from it. And so this is the reminder of Paul to the church at Galatia, that we'll be free from the bondage of those things which we do in order to think that we're in right relationship with God. Instead, we understand what Jesus did for us is what grants us that freedom and that opportunity that we have to be in right relationship with God. Here's what I mean. When God created us, when God created humanity, And when he decided that he was lonely, he created man. He created Adam. And from Adam, he took the rib and he made woman, and he breathed into them life. And he gave them true freedom because he allowed them to name all of the animals, and he told them they could go anywhere they wanted to and to eat from anything in the garden except, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God created this wonderful place, this beautiful garden. And Adam and Eve were there in the presence of God, and they were together. And God was pleased and said all of his creation was good. And yet, who came along? The devil. He said, don't believe what he told you. If you eat this, you can be just like him. He doesn't want you to be just like him. So, go ahead. And that's what they did. And then God's judgment came into the world at that moment in time. This was what we know as the fall of humanity. God created this world perfect, my friends. What we're going through here on this earth is not what God intended from the beginning. But it's all a result of our enslavement to sin and saying we can do whatever the heck we want to do. Paul insists to us that this freedom not be squandered, that this freedom not be wasted by serving our sinful desires. Paul insists this to us, and he offers that strong warning to us, as he did to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden thousands upon thousands of years ago. There's a price. We need to listen. We need to understand. Yes, we have the free will, but with it comes great responsibility. With our freedom comes great responsibility, our true freedom in Jesus Christ. But for those of us who choose Jesus, God does guarantee that we can have eternal life. That we don't have to be separated from him, and that he will help us to live a life. And friends, even though we have difficulties in this world, and things aren't always what we think they should be, and we trick ourselves into asking ourselves, well, shouldn't it be better because I do everything that I can to follow Jesus? We must devote our lives to Jesus Christ nonetheless. We must realize that from time to time, people will say unkind things about us. And Jesus tells us that we consider that a joy, no matter what. That we can consider that a joy, and that we continue to go on devoting our lives to him and honoring him. And even in the midst of all that junk that goes on in the world, because of Christ, we can find peace. Ultimate peace will come one day. Because of Jesus Christ, we can find justice. We don't always see it in our world today, do we? But one day, God will make everything right. We have to hold on to that. Because of Jesus Christ, we can experience order in the midst of chaos. Yes, there will be chaos. But because of Jesus Christ, one day, all will be made well. We also have freedom to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We are free to live our righteous and holy lives. But Jesus, quoting the prophet Isaiah, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he opens the scroll of that great prophet, and he reads from that scroll these great words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me by the Holy Spirit to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressors free. This is our Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is our friend who died for us. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and as he put that scroll away, he would later say that today, in your hearing, these words have been fulfilled. He is that one. He is the one who was anointed of God, who was anointed of the Holy Spirit, who came down from heaven to live among us, to be crucified, buried, and risen from the grave. He was the one who came to proclaim good news to the poor. This is our Jesus. He is the one that was sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Freedom to all of us who were imprisoned by sin and death. And he was sent, this anointed one, to give recovery of sight to the blind. For those that are spiritually blind, to let them see and to let them hear. Not with physical sight and sound, but with a spiritual ear and with a spiritual eye. And now that we have been freed, or given the opportunity to be freed from sin through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, you and I have a great privilege. And with that privilege comes a great responsibility. And that responsibility is to spread the good news. This is not a club for a few. This is not a church for only a few. The church of Jesus Christ exists for those that are in bondage. The church of Jesus Christ exists for those that are blind. The church of Jesus Christ exists for the poor, for the downtrodden, for those that are grieving. This is why we are here, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. God saved you for a purpose, for a reason. You and I have been made for a purpose greater than ourselves, like Paul spoke about. He said, I've become less so that these people, I can share with them the good news. He gave up all of the freedoms that he had to tell others about the good news of Christ. For example, Zacchaeus. You know that little song that we all like to sing, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. You know that? Zacchaeus was not a good person. Zacchaeus was a Jew, but he was a tax collector. He stole from people. He was very wealthy. He lifted up government. And I would say to myself and to all of you, don't listen to any of the garbage that's out there in these political campaigns that are going on. Don't sell yourself out to these people. Sell yourself to Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can give you true freedom. He's the only one. And that's what he did for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was concerned with just himself. That's all he cared about. He wanted to make money. He wanted to have things. And that was what was important to him. But then after he spent some time with Jesus, guess what happened? He found salvation through Jesus Christ. And then because of that, he went to his house and invited Jesus in. And as a result of that, his entire household was saved. Today, salvation has come to this house, Jesus said, because this man is a true son of Abraham. Not tied up in the laws, not tied up in the rituals, but sold out to Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus spent a lot of time prioritizing money, political power of the Roman establishment, and he placed God even over his own people. But after spending time with Jesus, his perspective changed. What did he do? Quickly, he offered to give back half of all his possessions, and he agreed to return back all the money that he had taken from those that were poor among his people. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. I firmly believe that's what we're about here. And it hasn't gone unnoticed in our community. And many people have said, you know, I see Jesus active in your church. I see you doing the things that I pictured Jesus would do. That's the good news. That's making a difference in people's lives. To me, that's what it's all about. We've experienced God's freedom by accepting Jesus Christ, but we have to continue. Until that day in which he returns, we have to continue. We have to keep on sharing with our friends. We have to keep on sharing with our family. We have to keep on sharing with our coworkers, our classmates. We have to keep on proclaiming the good news in our city and to our nation and to our leaders and all those who do not know Christ. You see, I love all of you. I adore all of you. But there are people out there that need to experience the love that we experience together here, that are lost and they're dying and they're bound to their sin. We have that responsibility to go out and share that. So we need to become those representatives. We need to continue to serve those that are hungry, physically and spiritually. We need to continue to serve those that are blind, physically and spiritually. We need to continue to serve those that are poor, spiritually and physically. For this is what Christ would have us to do, to spread the good news. So, we must continue to be that representative of Christ and channel that salvation as we spread the good news of Jesus Christ, that we can fulfill that great commission that Jesus gave right before he ascended to heaven. This last and final reminder from Romans. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Let us then, as Psalm 97:10 says, let us who love the Lord hate evil. If you ever want to hate anything, that's the one thing you can hate, evil. For he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. This is a real cause for us to rejoice. As the psalmist wrote, God will protect us. He'll watch over us. And as we live for Christ, God assures us that he will always protect us, that he will never leave us or forsake us, even in our darkest and deepest hour. And this assurance is his and his alone to us, to continually, for those of us who continually live under God's grace. So, we have true freedom. Freedom from the law, but not freedom to do whatever we think we want to do. But freedom to live for Christ, to be his ambassadors. And so, as we celebrate freedom in our country, this last week, as it turns out, it's odd when the 4th of July kind of falls in the middle of the week. You just don't know where to celebrate it or acknowledge it. But we do celebrate that freedom that we have in this country. But what I want you to hear this morning is that true freedom, ultimate freedom, genuine freedom, is nothing that this country can provide you. Nothing that our leaders can provide us. No law written can give it to us. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can give us that true freedom. And it is our responsibility and great privilege to share that freedom, ring it out throughout all the land and across the world, because that is our responsibility, and that true freedom is only found in Christ, who himself is that freedom. Without Jesus, we cannot attain true freedom, no matter what anyone tells you. And without him, we'll continue to experience chaos and disorder and injustice until we humble ourselves, and pray and ask God to heal our land and finally, once and for all, bring true freedom to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do live in this country. We know it's imperfect. We know that it's not all that you intended. It's likely not what our founding fathers intended. But as we come, we are reminded that we should always strive for a more perfect union. So help us as Christ followers to shed light on what is true freedom, so that others may see it and follow in its path. We thank you for Jesus Christ and his love for us, but not only for our country, but for the whole world, and especially those places that are poor and treated unjustly and unkindly. And Lord, help us to lift them up, to shine a light upon them, and those here within our own community that are struggling, that we might be a beacon of hope and healing for them because of what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to gather freely and to worship freely in this space today. May we continue to serve you and faithfully follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now our hymn this morning is number 695.